Those of you who are worshiping at home may be glad that you are able to do that, because even in the sanctuary, we can still have a bit of fume. So we would wear a mask, not because of the pandemic, but also now today because of the smoke. And I pray that you continue to stay safe at home and remain healthy. I extend warm greeting to each and every one of you from this beautiful sanctuary, and we are so happy that you are able to join with us this morning. And I pray that the worship this morning may touch your heart and enrich your soul. A young married couple was spending a week at a casino. This immature couple was spending money like water. On the sixth day, all they had left was $2 and an admission ticket to the local racetrack. They agreed that the young husband would take the $2 to the track and take one last chance. He picked long shots until he had won $10,000. On the way back to the hotel, he stopped off at a gambling casino to try once more. Within an hour, he had run his bankroll up to a neat $40,000 at roulette. As he was leaving, he had a new hunch and bet his entire $40,000 on the black. The ball bounced, rolled, and settled. The croupier called out, "Red!" The young man made his way back to the hotel room. His wife asked, "How did you make out?" He replied nonchalantly, "I lost the $2. Well, in fact, he lost $40,000. He didn't tell her. Things do not turn out to be rosy all the time. We win on some good days and also lose on some bad days. $40,000 is a lot of money for the young couple. Losing it all together could have crushed the man, but he did not appear to be. Maybe because he did not want to disappoint his wife, or the young man was so wise that he learned how to recover his sanity quickly from the big financial loss. Could we still be positive during the days of our loss? Let's look at how the psalmist dealt with various hardships, days of his loss. According to the description in the psalm, he was hard-pressed. All the nations surrounded him. They surrounded him on every side. They swarm around him like bees. He was pushed back and about to fall. The Lord has chastened him severely. It sounds very much like what David, the king, went through. Even though the psalm doesn't indicate that it was written by David, it very much likely was written by him. All these troubles were supposed to crush him and fill his heart with groaning and resentment. But as we just read, the psalmist does not have an indication of defeat. Instead, he sang praises. Take note, the psalm begins with and ends with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." The psalm sings victory and salvation, enumerating God's constant interventions. Let me read several verses once more. When hard-pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look triumph on my enemies. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarm around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. This psalm does not merely repeat a particular theme of praise for the presence of God in his life, which is found frequently throughout other psalms. It goes deeper. You may have noticed from the verse 22, that verse is what Jesus quoted shortly after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem during the Passion Week. In Matthew 21, Jesus said to the people in temple courts, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'" That's exactly what's written in Psalm 118. Now, there's a lot more in Psalm 118. Look at the following verses from verse 25 through 27. "The Lord save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. With bows in hands, join in the festal procession." I mean, look at it. These verses are strikingly the exact description of what happened on Palm Sunday. As Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the crowd who came to the city to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread came out and welcomed Jesus, waving palm branches, and shouted, "Hosanna, save us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." During the same week, Jesus was crucified and died. And in the psalm, there is a description of death and also the resurrection. "I will not live, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." There is an indication of the death and resurrection right there. And I will point out one more. The psalm describes the nature of the Messiah as the gate of salvation. Verse 19, "Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter." These verses point to Jesus' sacrificial act of redemption by which Jesus opened the gate of salvation. And more concretely, this is what Jesus said in John 10. Jesus called himself the gate. "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." I shared with you a few times previously that the Old Testament was written all about Jesus, and this is not exactly what I argue, but this is what Jesus said. What Jesus said in Luke 24, when he was walking along with the two disciples down the road to Emmaus, Jesus explained the whole scriptures of the Old Testament and said, these were written about me. So, is the Psalm 118 messianic? Yes, it is. It contains plentiful natures of the Messiah, literal description of the Passover, starting from Palm Sunday, authentic words and acts of Jesus. During the Passion Week, Jesus accurately fulfilled the prophecy written in the Psalm. Therefore, we can say the Psalm is the prophecy and song of the Messiah. Now, it does not stop there. Look at the other side of the Psalm. It sings a song of those who are saved by the Messiah. As the Psalm sings, those of us who are saved can boldly proclaim that God is with us and He is our helper. We look in triumph on our enemies because our Savior steadfastly intervenes in our life. Even if we are in distress and are surrounded with troubles on every side, we can rely on the unfaltering love of our Savior and sing in our daily living, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, this verse is very familiar with us. We say it over and over, right? And I would like to call this verse from Psalm 118, Song of Salvation, or a song of those who are saved. Our days cannot be rosy all the time. If we could choose our path, we may want happiness only. But life does not run as we wish always. Some days are good, some other days are not so good. The psalmist had gone through all different kinds of troubles. There are times when he was violently pushed down and felt that the death was very near. But God was with him and surely saved him. And he sang, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Because now Jesus has become our Savior, we can sing the same praise and rejoice always. So let's do this. Those of you who are worshiping and then those at home and then those of you worshiping here with us, let us repeat this verse. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I mean, we have said it over and over, but we did not know the background of this verse. In the Psalm 18, which has all the description of the Messiah, of his work, his ministry in there. And because Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, is in our life, this has become our song as well. We can sing that every day. Let me share with you a story. Joe Camp was about to turn 30 in 2 days. He was insecure about entering a new decade of his life and feared that his best years were now behind him. His daily routine included going to the gym for a workout before going to work. Every morning he could see his friend Nicholas at the gym. He was 79 years old and in terrific shape. As he greeted Nicholas on this particular day, he noticed Joe wasn't full of his usual vitality and asked if there was anything wrong. He told him that he was feeling anxious about turning 30. He wondered how he would look back on his life once he reached Nicholas' age. So he asked Nicholas, "What was the best time of your life?" Without hesitation, Nicholas replied, "Well, Joe, This is my philosophical answer to your philosophical question. When I was a child in Austria and everything was taken care of for me and I was nurtured by my parents, that was the best time of my life. When I was going to school and learning the things I know today, that was the best time of my life. When I got my first job and had responsibilities and got paid for my efforts, that was the best time of my life. When I met my wife and fell in love, that was the best time of my life. The Second World War came, and my wife and I had to flee Austria to save our lives. When we were together and safe on the ship bound for North America, that was the best time of my life. When we came to Canada and started a family, that was the best time of my life. When I was a young father, watching my children grow up, that was the best time of my life. And now, Joe, I am 79 years old. I have my health. I feel good. And I am in love with my wife, just as I was when we first met. This is the best time of my life. Some of us are nostalgic about pre-pandemic days when we enjoyed freedom of moving and traveling. Some of us may miss youthful days when we had more strength and health. Is today worse than the days of our past? Not quite so from the perspective of the psalmist. Look what we have today. Jesus, our Savior, is present in our life, and He is deeply involved in our day-to-day affairs. We witness the Lord's intervention every day. Every day is the day that the Lord has promised His blessing for us. We can agree with the psalmist and sing, "This is the day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God has given me the best possible life in spite of my shortcomings. I will rejoice in the Lord today and the rest day of my life. When He calls me home to be with Him in paradise, I will rejoice eternally in His presence." So, what do you think? Today is the best day of your and my life, for the Lord is with you and me. Amen.